SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The only place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline. With the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching, listen, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget, act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Oh, the best of every day now officially underway. It is a Monday right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's Donnie Wrightside. It's Kevin Walsh. And away we go. The dancing shoes. The A-Sun is underway. A couple decent looks tonight overall. The Houston Cougars are going to beat the hell out of the Kansas Jayhawks tonight. And so much more on this show tonight, Kevin. Are you ready today? Are you pumped? It's a new week. And we're in March. It's March. It's madness.
Yeah, it certainly is. Shout out Houston for not covering against Cincinnati. I tried, Donnie, to do the Joe Lisi special of Cincinnati plus 14.5, Houston to win the national championship.
Yes.
And they wouldn't let me parlay the two.
Wow.
I don't know what that was all about.
You're on to that.
Yeah. I was really hoping I'd get like a non-correlated great number on them to win the national championship. It is what it is. But yeah, man, it's what a weekend of college basketball. You know, the results just keep pouring in, man, and the top teams keep looking pretty darn good.
How'd the show go Saturday for the people out there that don't know? It looked like a combo between Betting Above the Rim and the College Basketball Today show. What was it? What was the official name of the show on Saturday?
I believe the official name, you'll love this, Betting Above the Rim College Basketball Today Edition. So
yeah,
I think we filled up the character count on that one, but it was fun. I mean, it was good to just get into a lot of the conversations. Personally, I don't think there were a lot of breaks that went my way. Pittsburgh, for example, plus 10.5. We're down about 3 with 5 to go. The first time Louisville led by 11 was when they dunked the basketball with 3 seconds left to go from up 9 to up 11.
How my guy Flag in that game? Drop any triples in that game for me?
I couldn't even tell you. One of those games, Donnie, that every time you're checking in, you're like, excellent, we can count that money. And then you check one final time, you go next. Someone explain yourself.
Yeah, I can't believe what you're seeing on the screen. Yep, 79-68. Let me see what my guy Rain did here real quick. Let's see. Rain Smith, 205. So probably wouldn't have cashed any tickets. So damn it, why did they cover, right? Come on.
What was the point? Uh-huh. Were you getting involved on the weekend part of it, or were you laying low?
No, laying low at that point, because soccer weekend started for me in my household, so Saturday I was out, but I was keeping an eye on everything. There were a couple games and a couple spots I liked, but some injury information that I wasn't like, all right, I wonder what we're going to get, like Texas Tech. Texas Tech can beat you from the three-point line. You can shoot it against Kansas. Wasn't sure if two of their five starters would be in. They were both in. They beat Kansas. I thought that was a very good win. But sort of for me, too, is not really getting in the mix on Saturday. There's one game Saturday night, which was a West Coast Conference game. Not West Coast Conference. Maybe it was a Mountain West. Maybe it was a West Coast Conference. What's UC Santa Barbara, like that division?
Oh, like the West Coast? Like not the WCC?
Yeah, what would they be called?
Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, like that. There was, because I was telling people on the air Friday when I do like the solo show.
What are we thinking here?
Yeah, you know, it might be the WAC. Might be the WAC. Let me just go back. I'm going to go back 2 days here. The 28th. No, 30. There you go. First. The last game on the board, which is UC San Diego and Cal State Fullerton, which is the Big West Conference. And it was like handicapping games. Kevin, I was like, most people are going to look at like, hey, man, I want to watch like Auburn and, you know, Kentucky play. And Auburn was tremendous, scoring almost 50 points in the first half. Texas Tech went on the road, never wins in fog, finally pulls off a victory there. Iowa State, really impressive against Arizona. But I was like, sometimes I just tell people, go to the bottom of the games. Like if you're using Ken Pom, like he has a thing called, you know, fan match, which means give me the best games, give me the worst games, non-competitive. Like I went down and saw UC San Diego. I said, man, this game looks like an absolute thrashing on paper. Like one team plays great defense, one team plays no defense, one team lights up the three-point line, one team doesn't defend anything. 100-55 final was that score. So I like really looking like down those boards because Ken Pom predicted 83-57, ended up 100-55. Like it was a decimation. So didn't get involved per se money-wise, but was looking at overall. But as we get closer to the tournament, which this week, again, you're going to get a lot of the mid-majors, lower conferences starting off. Next week's the big boys come into it. Two teams, Kevin, like I find myself gravitating to now on a national level, and they're both out of the Big 12. It's Texas Tech and it's Iowa State. 30-1 and 20-1, respectively, to win the national championship. Not with the best teams in the country, like Auburn, I think is better, obviously Duke, and there's a couple other teams in there. But when I take a look at like the price point and what I think I'm going to get out of now healthy teams, I like those two teams out of the Big 12.
Yeah, I think the health is a big part of it. You know, they both dealt with a little bit of injury issues that potentially cost them some results, notably against Houston. You know, as somebody who has a Houston ticket, I'm not going to pretend like those were full strength ball clubs that went in.
Yeah.
Houston laid at, I think, 11.5 to Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, like that was a very injured group ultimately that they ended up playing there. We saw the number at Texas Tech balloon. So I understand it. Again, you know, you talk about points, price points, and how much further will those drop? I think one of them would have to win the Big 12 championship to cut the number drastically. But as always, you know, if you have been able to wait this long, you just got to hold out, I think, right, until that bracket officially does drop.
Yeah, you do, because the matchups are going to be key, and there will be teams that will be misseeded, like, how did Auburn wind up playing, I don't know, Florida or whatever, or Houston, or whatever it is, ends up like a two seed in their division. So we always see how that plays out. But the one thing I was impressed too is, like, Auburn goes on the road on Saturday and wins that game. Was it surprising they won it? No, it wasn't. But 49-34, place was on fire to start that game. And you just look at the three-point shots. Like, Auburn was collapsing it, man. 12-26, just Splash Mountain all over the place. And then the Kentucky Wildcats at home, one of the more fluid offenses in the country, only got 50 shot attempts, 17 from three-point range, only made four of those. Just an impressive performance. Where you just look at Auburn, best team, best player, best conference. Man, they are impressive.
Yeah, they are. I give them a ton of credit, man, to go into Rupp and win like that. I ended up playing a Kentucky money line, and I think I knew it was the wrong thing, but it's just like, Auburn's going to lose another game for me type of approach, and you have the odds boost. But for me, I just, Kentucky is continuously now taking some of these injury lumps. They just lost. You know, Jackson Robinson was supposed to be their best player. He's officially now out for the season with the wrist injury, and it feels as if it's just, they've not been able to settle in a way that I'm sure Mark Pope was hoping for. And it's interesting, but when you get those early bursts of results, right, the expectations shift. And Kentucky went from, all right, we got to make sure we make the tournament to, ooh, I mean, are we a Final Four team? And I think now the notion is, we better win a basketball game here in March. Otherwise, it's going to be a lot of frustration that'll come down the pike. But for Auburn, I mean, it's title or bust, man. There's no other way to describe it. And look, they went out very unceremoniously last year in round number one. Somebody who was holding a ticket on them last year, it's a big reason why, you know, they weren't my selection coming into the year. Honestly, it was. I was like, I just can't do it again with this group. And, you know, their book is the title favorites. You know, with the strength of the SEC, they only lost once in conference play.
Two smashing machines out there on Saturday. Duke Blue Devils easily handled their business over
Duke's
Florida
crazy,
State.
Crazy, man.
I mean, Duke just gets up and down the court. They do everything extremely well. It's almost like you're saying, like, oh, well, the ACC, but you still, if it's just the ACC, it's not 69-68 victories. Like, they are pummeling basketball teams right now, which is fun to watch. Yeah. And then you sort of, you know, slip around and take a look at some of the other scores that took place on Saturday. Florida with a really impressive performance. And shout out to JY, took a bad beat. And I saw his best bet on 79-76, Alabama-Tennessee. Yeah. Dude misses a long three-point shot, cruises over that total. But, boy, that is a tough, tough break and a really good win for Tennessee at that point. But I enjoyed looking at some of those scores. Iowa State smashed Arizona. So now as you start to get that focus in where this week you see the teams play their final selection or final days. Next week is the conference tournaments for the by majors. And then after that, good times all the way through. So Election Sunday, and away we go. It's Kevin, it's Donnie. Radio on the Grid.
We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Favorite time of the year, March. March is fantastic. March gives us a baseball. March gives us March Madness. March gives us hopefully elevated play in the NBA as some teams are tanking their way out. Some teams are trying to strive to get the highest seed possible. But I do want to start, Kevin, because the combine is over. And I don't really even know if anything even happened to the combine other than Cam Scataboo jumping really high. What a complete, utter waste of time. But the information, Kevin, was good coming out of that. I don't think we got a chance to speak here on the biggest error that could have been made by multiple teams. Matthew Stafford leaving the Rams and or going to the New York Giants and or the Las Vegas Raiders. Everybody knew he shouldn't leave, even himself and his wife. Looks like they're going to come to an agreement on a new contract over the next couple weeks and everything is fine. But Matthew Stafford staying with the Rams and leaving the Rams, two completely different stories which came out, which my head, when it first came out, was absolutely exploding. And then you saw both the Raiders and the Giants, like, full gas, full go. Here's what we'll pay you. 2 years, $100 million guaranteed, whatever draft compensation the Rams want. And I was banging my head against the table. Cooler heads prevailed. Stafford stays in L.A.
Yeah, I'm not as much of a fan as it for you. I think the Rams are, one, wildly overrated. Since winning the Super Bowl, they've won 5 games, 10 games, and 10 games. Anyone who acts like they're some perennial Super Bowl contender is basically Joe Lisi, or people who lie to themselves, because they are not that. So pretend it like, oh, if he leaves the Rams, how's he going to win? He's not winning a Super Bowl, okay? So we can get over that, all right? We can get over that. But the idea of, well, now the Giants and Raiders won't be making any mistakes. Oh, really? Oh, is that, are you sure? Because one team looks like they're going to sign the most toxic player in the entire league, and the other team's going to give Sam Darnold $45 million. So
I love it. Oh, I don't know.
I don't know, man. It. Maybe Matty Staff in the black and silver would have been a nice move instead of paying Sam Darnold franchise quarterback money.
I talked about this, Kevin, on the morning show, and I said, like, Tom Brady might be the most competitive winner in the history of professional sports. Like, when you think about, hey, guys in the biggest moments coming up clutch, let's just say Michael Jordan, let's just say Tom Brady, and we'll put them just in respective spots here. But, you know, competence off the field and running a franchise, Michael Jordan may be the worst general manager slash owner, team owner in the history of professional sports, the worst to ever do it. Tom Brady, I think, is so competitive, Kevin, that I don't think he understands the concept of, all right, let me see the roster. Why are we not going out signing a quarterback and getting this and get that? And you have to calm him down. Like, look, we need to build this thing. Remember the way we built it in New England with you and Bill Belichick? It wasn't about free agents. It was about getting our franchise quarterback, which was you. And it was about putting a game plan of how we are going to attack free agency, which means we're not. We're going to tell everybody on our football team, you're lucky to be here and you'll be paid way less than everybody else, but somehow you're buying to the Patriot way. But Tom Brady going out, like, and first, before we get to the Raiders, let me start with the Giants, because you're right about this. You're telling me they're like, all right, we're all in for Matthew Stafford. And then when you don't get it, it should be like, yeah, you know what? All right, let's head back. And they're like, no. Who's next on the list, which includes Aaron Rodgers to come in? And the reason I bring up the Giants is the self-preservation mode of the general manager and the coach are clouding every vision possible for the New York Giants, Kevin. Which means they are just trying to say, we won 5 last year. If I can get to 6 games, I can sell this dumb owner that we're on our way back up to being a playoff team. I don't have, and forget about the Raiders. Just talk to me about the Giants. Like, hey, Rodgers ruined one franchise. Stay here and ruin ours too.
Well, that is the reality of it, though. It is, I don't blame Joe Shane and Brian Daboll even slightly. And I'm not saying, so guys always have pressure, but Mara came out and was like, yeah, it's good. They better do something or we're going to have a problem. Like, you don't publicly usually see that, Donnie, outside of like a Jerry Jones, it feels. So those two have been told, like, if you don't at least flirt with making the postseason, I'm probably going to fire you. So they're going to try the 1-2 combination of, okay, Rodgers maybe gives us a shot at the postseason now, right? And we then take the young, exciting quarterback and go, whoa, okay, listen, man, you got to give us a shot at Cam. You got to give it a shot. We didn't even get a shot. Like, those guys actually are putting on a master class right now in terms of keep my job, you could potentially argue. And again, it's why the Stafford stuff all made sense. It's why the Stafford stuff made all the sense in the world.
Yeah, like, what do they do? Did they just, like, take him out to dinner and just, like, gas him up the whole night of what a great owner he is? It's pretty crazy how it boils down to. Because, and again, I try to reach out to, you know, Giants fandom, right? And it's like, well, what do you want out of your team? Like, your team can only go in two directions. Tanking all the way down to scrap it, or you're on the ascension to the way up. Like, it looks like they don't want to do either at this point, which is what I laugh at. And also, the fact that, you know, players can't tank. Players don't tank. Coaches typically don't tank either because they don't want to get fired. But a general manager in a front office is supposed to be like, hey, Mr. Owner, here's what we're doing here. We're up 7 points or whatever against the Colts. I'm pulling the plug on this entire team and telling the coach, you better run the football. We'll take a knee the rest of the way out so we can absolutely lose this, right? So then they go, okay, well, we can always trade up. Are we saying now that the Giants, who are going to trade from 3-1 and give up next year's number one pick, then stink again and then have a Carolina Panthers situation like, oh, man, we got a franchise quarterback. We stink. Oh, wait a second. We don't even have the number one overall pick again in the second year. Like, that's what they're cascading to. Like, if you are the Giants, what do you do, Kevin, right now? What do you do?
Yeah, I think they are going to trade up for number one overall because I think the Titans are doing an excellent job of not forcing the quarterback pick. That's what we're seeing right now. Is despite, you know, what would be your advice, the Titans are like, we're going to draft Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, no problem. And that is, to me, the correct move. So the Giants will come up to number one. And, I mean, again, like, the funny thing is I just see your smile. I'm like, I know he's, one, not listening, and two, on Twitter. I don't know what you tweeted out. But it's like, it's hard to get through making a point.
You'll like it.
When you know. Well, I saw the Pope one already. Let's see what the second one is. Let's see.
It's the reply to it, which is it hits home so perfectly when you get like somebody to reply.
Terrible.
Like, yeah, like you're dead wrong. Like, no, he's cooking, man. Let him work. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hit him with the quotes.
Watch it. By the way, if anybody doesn't know, like, I always said Mark Pope was, you know, just a bad move to go to Kentucky. Never. So I'm actually nice to see. He's playing in the toughest division in, you know, college sports right now. We'll get to that topic after the break because it is kind of funny for the background.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Watch the Academy Awards last night, Kev. Did you?
I didn't watch it. I saw... Not really. No.
I didn't see any.
I didn't. I haven't been to the movies in a little bit. Not like crazy long, but
movies are bad now. I used to think like once or twice a year.
Twister was great.
I saw Twister at home. Yeah, like on the.
Oh, okay. I saw it in the theater. That was very, very good.
Yeah.
What else did I see? I thought I saw one other thing. I don't know. Well, you know
last
what
time
I do.
You went to the movies. Yeah.
Do you shop at Costco at all? You're a Costco guy?
I don't have a Costco like very close to me. I have a BJ's, but similar to those stores. Yes, I do have a membership to those stores.
I bring it up because I don't know if they have, maybe they do at BJ's. They're probably all the same. Mm-hmm. They have the discounted movie tickets that you can get.
Oh yeah.
I do. It's like, you know what? This is worth it, right? Like eventually we'll go. We've been sitting on them for a little bit now, partly busy, partly like, nothing's grabbing me into the theater.
Yes. It takes a lot because I'm not really a movie guy at home. Big movie guy. Like, you know, let's just say Godfather's on. I'll watch it 62 straight days in a row. If I movies, I'm always flipping through to find a movie, past, new, whatever. You know, hey, Above the Rim, let me watch that. Or like Juice, like just bringing it back up there, having fun.
Sure.
But to me, it takes a lot to me to get to movie. Like I was excited to see Top Gun Maverick. Saw that movie's fantastic, loved it. But I need like an eventful type movie. But I'm also, Kevin, not a... like Avengers, like superhero guy. Like I don't watch any of those movies. And it just feels like to me, like nothing has gotten my attention in like 2 years in the movies.
The Avengers, all that stuff is like you missed two. You know what I mean? And I'm like, I'm not caught up. Like I just can't, I don't know what's going on. So I'm kind of similar to you. There's some stuff that looks good, I feel, but again, like, it's, I don't know. It's, when's this coming out? And then it's like, ah, it'll be out on whatever it is soon enough anyway. So you kind of have some time. And but I'll, this is kind of the time. Like, I'm not going to the movies now either in football season. Like, well, you know what I mean? That's just not really much of an option. So, you know, now that we're into this type of weather, this type
summer
of season,
blockbusters, it's what we're used to. Not getting them anymore.
Yeah, well, we'll get on the horizon. There's got to be some stuff, though. But again, a lot of that, like, oh, here's what's coming. Then you're right; it is all the superhero movies, that are coming.
It used to be like I was never an Academy Awards like guy, but when you see, like, hey, I saw four or five of these movies like back in the day, it's like, oh, that's going to be interesting to see who wins this. Then they went down that list. Like, I didn't see Wicked. I have no even interest in seeing that. Anora one. I was like, did that even make the movie theaters? Like, I don't even know.
Yeah, no, listen, again, like, I think The Brutalist was the favorite. Yes. And I was like, I've heard of that. I never heard of Anora.
Yeah.
Do you feel like the betting on the Oscars and stuff is, like, really taking off? Like, are we on an island and people love betting on this stuff? Because it's surprising to me that, like, DraftKings and FanDuel are, like, all over the place to make sure that they can book this stuff.
Yeah. I just think D-gens are going to D-gen and bet whatever they have. And maybe that's one of the few things you can get, like, inside information on, as opposed to how somebody's going to play this weekend.
So I almost wonder if the people who are betting on the Oscars, what level of crossover there is like being a typical sports gambler. Like, I wonder if the movie crowd is like, no, 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 like, I want to bet. I want to get involved. Because I think, like, if for people that are kind of in it, Donnie, like, they like to do, like, oh, let's all make our picks. Like, I think when you do the Oscars, like, when you watch the Oscars 10 years ago, you're like, let's all pick what we think's going to win. So maybe it's a big deal. Like, you want to go, like, big galaxy brain, right? Like, last night, should the in-game live crew have been doing Oscars coverage? Like, or should they have been doing Lakers-Clippers? Wow, that team's red hot.
Yeah, it's a shame that my guy Big Will can't stay healthy for that team. It's a shame. It's a shame. They'll come back. They'll be good to go. My guys will be in there. Ooh. Clip show.
Oh, Norman Powell?
Yeah, Norman Powell. I call him Big Will. It's my guy.
Why?
Big Willie. Yeah. That's just because he's a big game player. He doesn't play, they don't win.
Yeah.
My guy.
He did get injured in game.
First thing I checked. Like, because Norm Powell hasn't played for the last couple of games, and the Clippers aren't bad. It's like, ooh, my guy Will's back. Let me see what happens. So I wake up and see the Lakers win. I'm like, oh, man, what did Norm do last night? I saw 9 minutes. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And I was like, oh, hammy again. Like, come on, Kevin, you can't fight that hammy. Like, you either get it handled or you just let it go by. So my guy Big Will now out of the lineup probably for the next week or two.
Well, what I don't understand, though, is, like, when that happens in the NFL, when they rush back, it's like, I don't know, I kind of get it. Why are you rushing back ever in the NBA from a hamstring injury? Like, how does that make... If it's not the playoff, what are we doing here?
Sit it out. Yes, right?
He was making all NBA.
Heck yeah. We'll be right back.
Yeah, right.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, yeah. Come on. We got plenty more hot topics here. NBA card tonight. Philadelphia 76ers looking for two wins in a row, which is ridiculous because my guy Grimes is dominating, dropping close to 50 burgers on Golden State's head this past weekend. Now they play against the Trailblazers tonight, who the Sixers better not win that game, but I don't want to spend my time talking about that. I want to spend my time talking about this. How about the most earth-shattering move that we've seen this weekend? Deebo Samuel, all 1,500 yards 4 or 5 years ago, going to Washington and having Twitter/X treat this as like a Madden game. Like, they just got the best wideout for a fifth round pick. And then everybody going like, all right, let me explain how this actually works and why Deebo Samuel is on the Washington Commanders at this point. Yes, he makes $20 million. That's why it was a fifth round pick. And also, he's 30 years old, injured all the time. Does it make them better, Kevin? From my perspective, adding him, if he does bring somewhat of his talents there, makes him a slightly better team. They have a ton of money to spend. But I do love the fact that, like, They just got Debo. They're ready to dominate. And then part two of it is, don't you think the 49ers understand what Debo Samuel has left in the tank? Like, yeah, we're good.
Yeah, I think for me, my bigger takeaway was how the 49ers at the moment seemingly cannot time any of these moves correctly. Like, they could have got a first-round pick for Debo Samuel. He asked out, like, every year on the year. No, no, no. Contract becomes an anchor. All right, you eat it all. Give us a fifth, fine. Now, incredibly, everyone's like, well, listen, one of Debo or Ayuk will get traded. And they went, no, 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 no. And then Debo gets traded. And now they're like, yeah, Brandon Ayuk's probably going to get traded too. Oh, is he? Off a torn ACL? Now we're going to move Brandon?
Yes.
For what? After a fourth round pick? I just talk. I do not understand how the 49ers had two guys who they could have moved for first round picks forever and probably been totally fine with those moves and have now found themselves, you know, a pair of fifth round picks back for these guys. And like, I hope Ricky Pearsall can be an elite number one wide receiver. It's just crazy.
Yeah, we can equate. Let's talk two football teams, but in the same genre now, because the 49ers still get a lot of respect in the odds market. We don't know who their quarterback's going to be or how much money he's going to make right now. Christian McCaffrey, hey, I'm coming back. Is that one game, two games? Is it shut it down? Is it I'm going to be great? You take a look at Bosa, injured, gets paid a lot of money here. Some of those guys on the defense getting a little bit up there in years. George Kittle looking for a big money contract. And you're right. Debo Samuel wanted a blank check. They gave it to him. Hasn't worked out since he signed that deal. Brandon Ayuk last round, we're going to trade it for a first round pick, as you pointed out rightfully so. Now let's keep him signing big term. Now, it's not his fault he blew his knee out, but they're at such a crossroads right now of a football team, which is amazing, which then brings me to my next point in the Dallas Cowboys. Kevin, help me understand this. Mm-mm. Dak Prescott, who Jerry Jones, and I saw the actual reports come out, profitable NFL teams, Kevin, they made over $512 million in profit last year. Like almost three or four times, Kevin, over the second place team and beyond. Like the most expensive franchise, making the most money, it makes sense. And it's not a direct tie into the salary cap because there is a salary cap no matter how much money you make. You can only spend a certain amount. But there's ways to like maneuver the cap. Like if let's just say like a Howie Roseman was in Dallas, how they would work around it. Dak is scheduled to be, Kevin, $90 million against the salary cap this year. You take a look at CeeDee Lamb. Time one of the biggest deals a wide receiver in NFL history had. Then you go over to the defensive side, and you know Michael Parsons is going to be up. He's going to get paid more money than any defender has ever been paid in the NFL. And now they're out here going like, you know what? We missed the boat on this one too. Odighizuwa, who is a very good defensive tackle, not a top five, not even a top 10. Tag that guy and pay him like a top five player, which ties up immediately $25 to $26 million on your salary cap. How can they be this fun? Like a team with that much money should have everybody at the height and the best powers of their position in the front office, high paid, understanding what to do. Why are they so bad at the salary cap?
Yeah, I just think the timing is always wrong.
Jeez,
like that is really
they don't know
the
how
big...
to identify anybody.
But even Dak, Donnie, like there was just so many times it felt like they didn't have to find themselves in a bad position with the Dak contract. And then they did, right? And then they did. And I think if you look around, like, you know, Dak Prescott is still the guy that a lot of people will throw, you know, a lot of praise at, I feel, regardless of how the results actually start to stack up. Dak gets a lot of grace, I think, from certain people. Donnie, if they traded Dak, not now, they can't with the contract, but if they did, I mean, they would have been able to get back Halls. Right? Absolutely, you know, fantastic draft capital and things of that nature. And then they found a way to, oh, well, Dak's $90 million against the cap, right? I mean, it's just, it's bizarre. And I think the problem is you can never kind of have realistic conversations with this football team. Because they do such a good job, it feels like, bringing in some blue chip talent. Because they are so good at drafting in the opening round of the draft specifically, Michael Parsons has to be paid record-breaking money. CeeDee Lamb has to be paid record-breaking money. And then you have Dak Prescott
every
year telling people, listen, we're going to win the Super Bowl. Like, Dak can't – I understand people – you go, what do you want him to say? Not that. Dak shouldn't say we're going to win 4 or 5 games, but Dak does not. Dak should be aware of his surroundings, know that everything he says, his owner says, is going to get just absolutely put one on top of another. Stop putting Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl at the forefront of every conversation around you when you can't make a conference championship game, right? When you struggle to win a playoff game. You got to stop doing that because you're putting yourselves in a weird spot. Like, to me, when you look at the cap situation, Donnie, it probably sounds like Dallas could really use a reset year. And instead, if Ashton Jeanthi is on the board at 12, Jerry Jones is going to run through chess to put that pick on the board. And Jeanthi would be incredible in Dallas.
Yeah.
But that's not where they are right now as a franchise. It's not where they are. And that's kind of the problem, is it just doesn't ever feel like they're being rational. It doesn't feel like they're being reasonable, thoughtful in their execution.
Yeah, and nobody's going to stay on top of them. Why? Because it's Jerry Jones. Like, hey, I'll hire and fire, and we'll make more money than anybody else, and you can't get rid of me at this point. But it just always brings up, like, if they manage their situations, like, yes, Dak's going to be our franchise guy. Let's sign him earlier than later. No, we're going to kick the can away to every single year, which the price goes up. And then, obviously, his $90 million cap hit this year, they'll probably restructure, which means you kick the can down the road, and then there's going to be years where he's not even on the football team, and he's $86 million towards the cap. Like, how did this actually happen? Because of the way they structure their contracts, which is so wild. And again, like, Odighizuwa is solid, but now you're saying he's a top 5 paid defensive tackle. It's like, man, this doesn't even, like, compute, make sense at this point here. But it's the NFL offseason right now, as we wait for free agency to come up. We're seeing who still some of those, you know, tagged veterans are going to be, but not a lot out there at this point. Are you starting to settle into the draft for you at this point? Like, what's your next steps here for the NFL? Breaking it down.
I'm excited for the draft, Don, because I've always enjoyed betting the draft. I've enjoyed following the draft. I'm very interested to see what trades that we get. And I've made this point a few times. I think it's one of the more interesting things. But this year, DraftKings decided to post team to draft first. We do not see that usually, right? There's a reason why they post first overall draft pick odds. It's kind of a protection for them. Right. Yeah. It allows all the action to stay in play. And they've decided to do that. And they've just watched this Giants number move more and more and more. And I think I think anybody would agree that this is a lot more than a smokescreen from Tennessee. Right. When you have the first pick, you don't need a smokescreen. That they want to trade that pick. And that kind of starts a domino potentially. Right? Because some people think the Browns love Cam Ward. Well, if the Giants go up to 1, Cam Ward's not going to be on the board. So now, you know, the Browns are going to have to pivot.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting offseason for a couple teams here. But you know what? I want to ask Kevin a question. The NBA next. It deals with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Value?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, yeah. Told you I had a question for Kevin. NBA. But how do you like this, Kevin? NBC will have Mike Tirico doing play-by-play assignments for 2 games this week. Sixers Trailblazers on NBC Philly and Celtics Trailblazers on NBC Boston. Tonight will be Tirico's first NBA broadcast in almost 9 years as he prepares for a full-time role in 2025-2026. You know why I said this? I can't stand the Philadelphia 76ers home booth. So Tirico in there might be the only time I might actually sit down and watch a Sixer game and be happy with it.
There you go. Yeah, look, maybe I'm crazy. I truly think the NBA going to NBC is going to be very, very, very beneficial for the league. We don't have to get into the inside debate like we do, but I think it's one of those things where a new coat of paint will help the perception a little bit.
We need the Van Gundy's. What does he even do? I don't know.
What does Mark Jackson even do? Because Van Gundy's on the Clippers bench. Does Mark Jackson just not even work? Which is fine. I'm just saying, usually, I don't know. Interesting.
At the top of your game, get let go. Like, I'm not even going to latch on anywhere. So, I mean, obviously, he's got multiple, you know, pension and sources and probably made a ton of money. Yeah. So he doesn't have to do anything. But it is interesting that he's not there. But Tirico coming in, I like, a lot of it does have to do sometimes with, you know, the comfortability of gameplay. Like, hey, man, I tune in. I like to hear this guy call a game and you'll watch it a little bit longer. But the rebranding back to NDC, you get those 80s, 90s vibes and all that good stuff. Can't hurt the NBA. That's for sure. Who loses, by the way? Who loses the NBA if NBC's getting it? It's a separate package.
Oh. TNT.
See that? I don't even remember.
Yeah.
I think I ever turn on a TNT game outside to watch the real show.
No, I think if you're on it, you've never, you don't turn it on. You see the clips. You see the shorts. You don't even watch Inside the NBA because you're asleep. Like that's, you can't even pretend that you watch that. You don't watch it.
But it's fantastic theater. Put that thing on at 6 o'clock on ESPN. Let's go. Let's rip it and rhyme.
That's what I can't wait more than anything. It's going to be absolutely ruined.
The only thing left. Those guys make like $100 million, like $200 million contracts. Why? Because people like those guys. Speak the truth. We speak the truth on the network, Kevin. They speak the truth. Why don't you like it?
No, because they don't. Because they're lost. They don't speak the truth. They're totally lost. They've been lost. And it's very fun to me, actually. I'll be honest with you. It is fun and tough, though, to watch these guys get called out. You know, I mean, it's good because it should happen. But, you know, I also then, the responses are just mind-numbing. Because it's just more and more of the garbage and the nonsense. But it's fine. It's fine. We don't have to go down that road.
What if I told you this? Go ahead. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm getting to read. You know what? If I told you this.
Yeah.
Cavaliers are going to win the championship. What do you say to that?
I think that it's on the board. I think the Cavs have been disrespected still in the market a little bit because
Tell them.
When you look at Cleveland has the chance to be the number one overall seed, so they could get home court advantage in the finals, which is important.
Yep.
Now, what people will say is, does Cleveland have the proven pedigree? The reality is that Cleveland core has as much pedigree as OKC's core. OKC has the one postseason win. Last year, were eliminated in the semifinals. It was the same situation for the Cavs. Now, SGA is a much better basketball player than anybody on Cleveland. And you want to be able to have the best player in the world, and SGA is a make-the-argument-level guy. Donovan Mitchell is not that, but Donovan Mitchell has a lot of postseason success on his resume. And I think, for me, we don't need to overcomplicate this. If your team can make the finals, your team can win the finals. That's how I view it. So to say that Cleveland can't win the Eastern Conference, I think would be crazy. I don't even know how anybody could make that argument, truly. So to me, I view it as the Cavs are a clear-cut contender, and I think, you know, I don't know if it's moved sense, but you have two teams under like 2-1 to win the title, and they're sitting at like 7-1.
Yeah,
that just doesn't
170-190 and 7-1.
Yeah, that's not right.
Because and again, I understand that. And by the way, I like the Celtics last week when they took on the Cavaliers up until they were sitting multiple starters by game time, and they came out gangs blazing out there. Hammering the Cleveland Cavaliers. Credit the Cavs coming back and winning that basketball game. But I always like look at the NBA. It's booked so much different than any other sport. Like, that game didn't matter at all. The regular season doesn't matter. When the Cavaliers might finish 10 games ahead of the Celtics, the people just say when the Celtics are healthy and it's the playoffs, they're the better team. But also, like, when you look at the Celtics, Kevin, +170 to win the championship on FanDuel. OKC, +190. We talked about the Cavs at 7-1. Like, the Cavs not going to have home field advantage or home court advantage for the Eastern Conference Finals and or the NBA Finals. And like, nope, don't worry about it. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, no, look, that is the other. I actually don't know if Boston would be favored in the series over OKC because of what you mentioned. Because they've been booked so similarly all year and because then OKC would have home court, I think that's relevant. Look, I'll just throw this log on top of the fire since we're talking value. I don't think they moved the Lakers' futures anywhere near enough. I think they're.
I don't have them. They're going to probably get the number two seed, let's just say. But I'm not interested in them winning the championship. I'm just not. Like, I'm just not buying in yet.
But what's the holdback?
No injury. Like, it's not like, oh, I think LeBron's going to break down. Nothing. I just don't think that they have enough gas in the tank. Like, I just think they're, you know, low post game, if you will. They needed a strong, like, focal center point here to sort of anchor that defense, which I don't think they have. And I like Luka. Luka's a very good basketball player. Finally last night, efficient Luka. That's what you want to see for the Lakers. When LeBron doesn't have to be efficient, which he wasn't last night, and still win basketball games, that's a big deal. But I don't look at them. And maybe it's just because I think the Celtics, the Thunder, and the Cavaliers are so much better than everybody else that I can't even say, like, even looking at, like, the Nuggets 14-1 or, like, the Knicks 22-1, like, I just don't see anybody outside of those three as title contenders, which is probably just clouding my vision.
No, but I actually, so my stance has been, unless, let's remove the East for a second, unless someone's take is, I guarantee you OKC is winning the West, I don't care who they play. If that's your take, well, then, okay, we don't have to have a list of contenders. But the notion that if you expand that list, like, well, Denver's a contender, but I'm not sure about the Lakers. That's insane. That's crazy. Are the Grizzlies, I could see. Golden State, maybe. It's like, what are we talking
253
about?
253 and a half tonight, Kevin. You ever hear that number? 253 and a half tonight. Atlanta Hawks, Memphis Grizzlies. 253 and a half. And I say, yep, going over. That's right. We'll be right back. Little NCAA talk to end it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Houston tonight, Kevin, for TIDA Center. We're looking at Houston as that true championship contender. Kansas, it's getting ugly out there. Double-digit loss season there for Bill Self in Kansas. Players posted on social media that the fans aren't happy with them, and they're going to go into a buzzsaw tonight because everything that Kansas, Kevin, wants to do on offense, Houston's not going to let you do that. So this, I don't know where this game winds up, but we were talking about this morning. Haven't bet it yet. When I look at Houston, number one overall in defense in conference play, number one on offense, that's usually a very good recipe for success. But Houston's defense is like, hey, come out here and shoot as many three-point shots as you want here. And Kansas is like, nah, we're good. And Kansas goes, you know what? We're going to score on the inside. And Houston goes, you know we're number one in conference play at defending inside at 16th out of 16 teams at 2% distribution rate versus Kansas is number one. Like, Kansas wants to go inside. You can't do that. We'll let you shoot the three. We don't want to do that. I don't know what's going to happen tonight, but Kansas ain't beating Houston tonight. That's for sure. Do I want to take them by, let's just say, double digits? I actually look towards Kansas team total to the under tonight, Kevin. How about that?
I was going to say, listening to your breakdown and whatnot, considering Houston's most recent game, this looks like one of those classic Cougar Rock fights.
Yes.
Kansas is... You turn the game on, 4 minutes to go. They're sitting at 12 points. You're like, I mean, someone explain yourself. I mean, what's even going on here, man?
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, what a tough season for the Jayhawks. They were the number one team in the country coming into the year.
Yep.
You know,
spend
so
a lot of NIL money.
When you try and pass blame, it's kind of hard to, you know, this X, Y, Z, like, it's... This is a team that's falling well short of expectation. Now, they're going to be in the tournament, and then we can start to judge some things off of that. But it is pretty remarkable. I still can't believe, I cannot believe that Houston, Donnie, left the American and then just walks into the Big 12 and wins it every
year. And better.
It doesn't make sense. It does not make sense. The equivalent for everybody is if Gonzaga, leaving the WCC, went into the Big 12 and won it every year. Yes. Like, oh, I don't know how that's going to look. Like, that could be, and they win every game.
And not even we wanted a 10-6 or 10-8 or 11. It was tough, 11-8. Like, no, we're walking through every team in here and you're going to have to deal with it. Yeah, one of the more impressive trade-ups there.
I don't know. It's so impressive. What do you make of Duke? Oh, man, I love the Cooper Flagg points, rebounds, and assists the other night. But he left poked early in the first half. Yeah, so I only got 20 minutes. He would have soared over it. He got 26 PRA in 20 minutes. I mean, he would have soared through that number.
Yeah.
But, you know, he leaves for that was so frustrating. I don't know what to do with these Duke games, though. I mean, they're laying so many points.
Take the three balls tonight. Don't worry about them covering 20. Don't worry about the game total.
Yeah.
Wake Forest actually is the number one team in conference play defending the 3-point line at 31%. Say, ooh, why would you go 3-point
It still doesn't matter.
Yeah, Duke is 40% number one at shooting, but here's the key, Kevin. 18 teams in the ACC. You know who's number 18 at letting you shoot the three-point shot at 18 teams? Wow. It's Wake Forest. And how about Duke? Number two in the ACC at volume from three-point range. So even though they defend it well, they might need their match for a team that, like, you know, Konkanopo or whoever. If I'm playing this game, I'm lining up player props from the three-point line because that's the way you score on Wake Forest. That's the way Duke wants to shoot. 44% of their total shots from three-point range and almost 50%, it's actually 47%, Wake Forest lets you shoot the three-point shot. So I'm not playing anything in this game other than three-point shots. If they go down, Duke just smashes them. But it's one of those where it's like, hey, Duke shot 10 more three-pointers than they usually do. I want to take advantage of that. So I don't know which player I'm going to take or how that balances out, but just looking at the early numbers, that's your attack point here. Where Duke's like, look, I know you defend it well, but you let us shoot it, we'll shoot it.
I think the biggest thing for Duke, that Illinois game ended up being, I think you could have got some people to be like, hey, man, I don't know. Like, they're great, but the ACC is so bad. Yeah. Illinois just 20-pieced Michigan. And I know some think Michigan are fraudulent, but, like, they just, like, in the middle of ACC play, stepped outside the house. I'm like, all right, whatever, we'll roll Illinois. And they just keep rolling teams up. Like, it's very impressive, man, to just constantly roll up opponent after opponent like that. It has been, man, it's going to be a good tournament, huh? I feel it's going to be a really, really good tournament.
No, there's a lot of fun teams in this. Like, you have the upper-level teams, but as we pointed out, like the Texas Techs and the Iowa States, and you have the upset bidders, and how will these teams show up? But you're right about Duke with one thing. Like, if that Clemson loss, like, you know what? Let's get back to our ways. And they're just smoking everybody. Yeah. Like, point spreads don't even matter at this point. North Carolina up on Saturday, rivalry, but we'll see if it plays out tonight before they get to that game Saturday. A lot of fun had here on a Monday right here on the Sports Grid Network for Moneyline. As always, Donnie Wrightside, Kevin Walsh, JP behind the wheels of steel. Tomorrow's another day. We'll be back for another edition of Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.